Your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds to the foundation.
The foundation. Foundation. Foundation.
The Foundation is brought to you by Alive, Fincastle Media Group, Paradise Fisheries, Royal Bank of Canada, Atos Holdings, Nassau Cruise Port, Burger King, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, Bonneville Bones, Commonwealth Bank, Barefoot Marketing, Carifta Aquatics 2024, and AML Foods Limited.
Foundation. The Foundation.
It's Friday again. I thought the hands of time would change me, and I'd be over this by now. Yeah, it's been too long since we got crazy. I'm lucky spinning. Much. No, I'm all in my bag, that's clutch. Feeling it, feeling it, feeling it. Every Friday, Saturday, Sunday, endless weekend on a week.
It's Friday again. It's Saturday, Sunday.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. 96.9 FM Radio. Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation. It is a gorgeous, beautiful Friday afternoon, live and in full effect, being able to go out there and do all that you can. We're getting closer to the weekend. Well, I suppose the weekend's upon us. It's a beautiful, beautiful day. I hope you guys get some great things planned for the weekend. My baby girl is going to be celebrating her 16th birthday tomorrow. So she's going to be 60. Well, I say baby girl. Yeah, I got another one since then, right? Well, the original baby girl. She's going to be 16 tomorrow, right? Celebrating her birthday on the 16th. I don't know her number now. You're doing too much. You're doing way too much. 16 on the 16th. My God. Do you square it? Do you box it? I don't know what you do. Whatever you do. If you guess something, make sure you put an envelope so I can tell her, hey, baby, someone sent something for you. It's a beautiful day, guys. Make sure you go out there and pick up your Guardian newspaper. Information's in the paper. They did a distinguished conversation last evening. All the information's in there. You can actually be able to see it. So it says justice and dialogue, distinguished conversations. So it says, we don't aim to put society at risk. Judges highlight need to protect presumption of innocence. It's the information that exists in there. I want you guys to read that, be a part of it. There's more information in the paper. Senator's son charged with gun possession. And nearly 300 shanty towns demolished so far. This is what the minister says. And the court reverses the decision on Gibson's witness, all right? So the line is going to be wide open today. I want you guys to join in and participate in the conversation. But before we do that, I got to shout out to my good, decent people over at AFS Insurance Agents and Brokers. They got everything laid out for you. If you got yourself your SDs, your livery, your taxi, your jitney, whatever you got as it relates to being able to get insurance for persons in the public to be able to enjoy the service that you offer, AFS Insurance Agents and Brokers, they can assist you in that. They can assist you as it relates to being able to get yourself insurance and taken care of in that stead. So go check them out, 3411-AFS. Everything is in-house. So you get in-house finance, and if you ain't got the cash up front, they can take care of you. In-house financing, 3411-AFS. And they're open all the way. If you're one of these people who, well, child, I want to see them and I give them my money. I want to put it in their hand so I could get a receipt. If you're one of these people, you can do that all the way until Saturday. You can do that. So they're open from Mondays to Saturdays. On Saturdays, they're open from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. 2 p.m. on Saturdays. So even if you're squeezing to get your car insured on Friday, and the fella say, yeah, man, I can bring in the money, but he didn't bring in till late, you still have an opportunity for Saturday to be able to get it done. No, you just got to wait to get your car insured, get your car licensed on Monday. But nonetheless, you'd be able to get taken care of like that. 3411AFS, 3411AFS. Guys, it's a beautiful day. I want to have this kind of a conversation. I want to open up the lines to you to really be able to talk about these things. I think today, I'm waiting on my guest to be able to sit with me. Garth Roseborough is supposed to be here. I'm hoping that he is. He said he was kind of caught up doing a few things. So I'm waiting on him to be able to come here because I'm very interested in having a conversation with him. He and I have been kind of talking back and forth this week about where we are nationally and the contribution. He's gotten significant feedback from the shows and those particular stats. So I want to hear about his perspective, his view as it relates to what's happening on the ground. Now, for the entire week, we've been talking about, from one angle or another, we've been talking about illegal migration, right? We've been talking about illegal migration for the entire week. And, you know, it's a peculiar thing that when you mention Luby George's name, my God, that thing has rained for the entire week. Luby, you like, you got to be like an A-list celebrity in the country, right? Yeah, or anti-celebrity in the country. Because when they mention your name, my God, I didn't hear 16 voice notes. Tell Luby George's to go back, go to Haiti. If he want help them, him and Fred them could go to a round table with barbecue. Did y'all hear this voice note? Yeah, I heard the voice note. Anytime you talk about as it relates to doing anything to do with Haiti, and I think it's just Haiti. I don't think it's illegal migration. I think it's just Haiti. I don't think you get up in arms as it relates to Jamaica. You don't get up in arms for any other nationality but Haitians. And then you justify it. You say, yeah, but because boom, 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 whatever you say. And I think I'm indifferent with it. I'm indifferent with it. I'm indifferent with it. I think that that's the conditioning of our society. That's the conditioning of our society. I'm indifferent with it. Let me tell you why. I think that's the same way that we view sin. I think that's the same way that we view sin. We've taken on this position and become content with the idea of sin, made modifications over the time, and only looked at one as blasphemous. Only looked at one avenue, one angle as blasphemous. We've looked at this sort of an idea as though we're God. Talk to me. Let's be decent. As though we're God. We've looked at one specific division of the stratosphere that is sin. We've only looked at this subsector and said, this is absolutely unforgivable. Yeah. And what's peculiar, even the complexity that exists in this particular space, you don't apply it to the far and wide, to all genders. What am I talking about? Let's do this. The one unforgivable thing that you still consider, despite all these things, is homosexuality. Let's talk. Y'all don't want to talk like this. So let's talk. You even said, well, lesbianism is sort of accepted. And then you smile at it because your misogyny actually perks up and you think from a warrior perspective, how can I conquer? So you don't really condemn that. But the condemnation solely lies upon homosexuality. And not viewing this as sex, as sin, you know. Not viewing this, the far and wide of what is being done, as sin. Only this subsector is absolutely unforgivable. But then when we start to have a conversation, you as a married man with your sweetheart, now hold on, Howard. Don't touch that. A man only got so much pleasure in his life. What you want me to do? It's peculiar. I think that this is the same way that we look at what's happening from this perspective. I had a great conversation with a good friend of mine this morning, bumped him going to print something over at Da Vinci. All right. Shouts out to Da Vinci, man. They got a beautiful spot. I just want to be as decent as possible as I say this. This is the little plaza up there on Village and Bernard Road, the little plaza right there. Listen, man, Da Vinci printing is absolutely bananas. I walked in there, it felt like modern. I mean, I thought, you look at this place and you say, wow, this is, I'd like to be able to, the banks to look like, this is nice. Nice stuff in there. My wife says we got to come back and get something for the baby girl, some printed stuff. So hopefully Da Vinci decides to be able to do some stuff with us well into the future. But shout out to Da Vinci. They have beautiful stuff in there. They did some stuff with us when we was down to the Fox Hill Community Center. Shouts out to Georgette Gardner and being able to do those things. And also Mr. Warren Davis over at the Fox Hill Community Center. So in the space this morning, in Da Vinci's printing, I ran into a very good friend. I care not to say his name at this particular time simply because I didn't indicate that I would, you know, divulge anything that we talked about. So, and running into him this morning, just being able to talk and talk about our community, talk about where we are, there is this overarching view, this objective, this idea that exists in our society. And we got to start to deal with this. We got to start to deal with this from a political standpoint, from a religious standpoint, from an educational standpoint. We have to be sober and 10 toes down. That's Nipsey Hussle. 10 toes down. When we take the approach of being able to do this, that means flat-footed with aggression and determination in our eyes to deal with this. I don't think we've reached that point now. I think we've identified a target. We've put a target on these particular persons' back. We're content with the fact that our spirit said that my spirit just don't take to these people. We're content with that. And we believe that that should be enshrined in constitutional law. Our spirit don't take to these people. And we don't really deal with the issues that's before us. We're unfair. Now, we have the right, the sovereignty, the liberty to be unfair. But my concern, every time I turn on this mic, every time I sit before you, every time we have a conversation, my concern is not necessarily what we can do. From an emotional standpoint, from a sovereign standpoint, but rather what we should do from a humanitarian standpoint, from a responsible standpoint, from a standpoint of being able to look at the next dispensation generation of Bahamians. There is a stark contrast that exists between what we can do, which is anything, that's our business, and what we should do. And the question is, are we on course for what we should do? There's no way I believe that having these conversations is going to be able to chip away at that stone callus over your heart as it relates to Haitians. My God, I can't even get no amen. There is no way that I believe that having these casual conversations and doing the best I can to try to lend logic, just lend logic to the emotional conditioning that your father's father has placed upon you. That your mummy them, the murdering, the mummerings under their breath about these particular people. Did I ever tell you about this story about a friend of mine? Very good friend of mine. She's a very good friend of mine. She's a Haitian. Right? And I told you, we were in the fifth grade. Now, I wasn't aware of these things. And this is the difference between men and women as it relates to maturity. Her maturity was being able to pick up what was going on in the environment around her and understanding that this had significant implications for tomorrow. Now, I don't know whether or not genetically women are kind of, they are programmed to kind of jumpstart a little earlier. And then I look at history and I make a determination. I say, you know what? If Grammy them used to get married at 14, 15, 16, leave school and start families, so forth and so on, this may be the genetic makeup of women to kind of jumpstart because of preparation to take care of the family. And then you look around other cultures, whether India, whether Asia, and so forth and so on, they're still doing the child bride thing. right? And so I try to figure this out. But in the fifth grade, she comes to me and she says to me, I will never forget this because I thought this was peculiar. As a Haitian young lady, I didn't even know she was a Haitian. We were in the fifth grade. Now you hear these things. And people say, but y'all is Haitian, but y'all smell body. Things like this, right? When we were children, right? There was a particular cologne. You remember the Brute aftershave thing, right? There was always this kind of a joke when we were telling these things. Oh, y'all smell like Brute, right? When we were little children. But you never knew who these people were. Fifth grade, she comes to me. She says, how would I like you? Fifth grade. Of course she likes me. I'm a handsome guy. Talk to me, right? So what you want, right? Not in a bad way. So she comes to me. She says, how would I like you? I said, okay. Now, keep in mind, at this time, fifth grade, I had about maybe six girlfriends. Let's be very clear about this, right? Six. And she said, how would I like you very much? She said, but y'all don't like Haitians. I didn't even understand what she said. That lived with me for so long, you had no idea. I had questions. Who is y'all? Who told you that I don't like Haitians? Am I not supposed to like Haitians? Where did you get this information from? Who's teaching you this separation? All questions that I was way too young to try to digest. And I realized that this idea that existed in our heart lived with her entire life. Let's talk about this. Is it possible that these people like us, these visitors to our show who's looking for a home, they like us, but we don't like them? But the question that I have is, do you have questions like me? Who told us not to like these people? As we get older, we try to be able to deduce with logic and reason why we shouldn't like them based upon our conditioning. But if we look at this, these people are human just like us. My God. How would you sympathize in with Haitians again? Maybe you should join barbecue and all these people at the round table. Y'all are wilding out. Are we ever going to get better as a country? Are we ever going to get beyond this issue? You are looking for the low-hanging fruit that you could be able to project your vitriol and anger towards, but not round your members of parliament. My God. You don't know how to rile the leader of your organization who said that he or she would do something and lied. It's a blatant lie. We justify when our leaders tell us a fable. We justify it. Well, he really didn't have time, but 5 years ain't really a lot. Well, all it took was a pen to be able to implement the legislation accordingly. All it took was everyone being able to identify that the whip is on. But yet, corruption, my God, I can't get away, amen. Corruption persists. No one fighting corruption. You're fighting Haitians. Haitian is the be-all that ends all in our country. We started this week off like this. We might as well end it with a bang. It's the be-all that ends all in our country. They are the reason that we ain't making enough money. They are the reason I can't put no paint on my house right now. My God, my lawnmower broke down. These people are the cause. I make joke about it, but the fact of the matter is, this is the approach that we take in our society. And what's worse is that this is what we're teaching our kids. This is what we're teaching our kids. We don't even recognize it. We don't even recognize, even through our casual conversations, that our children are sponges and absorbing the hate and vitriol that we have for another ethnicity in our borders. And we don't even care to be responsible enough to identify these particular things. We have to do better. I think we should focus our efforts on corruption. Let's do that. Because if we deal with corruption, then we wouldn't have to deal with illegal migration. Then it don't matter if 88,000 people were broken out of jail in Haiti. We don't have to be concerned about that because we was already in the air and the sea. You don't have to get ready. We was already doing that on a day-to-day basis. Now all we do is amplify these things. Let's talk about this. Let's deal with corruption. Let's identify these things and use the technology associated with being able to get our country on course and stop looking for low-hanging fruit to blame. I want to have deep conversations with you. I want to dive into this thing and be able to get into that. I want to take a commercial break. Guys, I want you to be able to do that, right? I want you to be able to do that. Give me a call, 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the Family Violence, 242-300-5720. Hit me up, 422-4796. Quick commercial break. Be right back after this.
Ready to score big? Alive is bringing you March Madness. From incredible deals on Ring devices to amazing deals on iPhones, Nokia, TCL, and more, Alive has everything you need to stay connected and save big. And that's not all. Enjoy free data, prepaid plan bundles, exclusive event tickets, and more. Deals end March 31st. Visit BeAlive.com or follow us on our social media at We Are Alive to stay in the know. Score big with Alive this March season. Don't miss out.
We need to talk, and it's about something pretty important, your NIB contributions. For nearly 50 years, NIB contributions from hardworking Bahamians have supported families and individuals alike. But Bahamian families have changed. Families are having fewer children. This means less workers are entering the workforce and making contributions. And with Bahamian retirees living longer, pension payments have also increased. As a result, payouts have gone up, continuously exceeding contributions coming in, resulting in a deficit. That's why, starting on July 1st, 2024, both employers and employees will have to pay a little extra to sustain this national lifeline. The July 1st rate increase is our way of ensuring that NIB benefits are available for generations to come. We all have a role to play, and it starts with investing in tomorrow, today, with NIB.
It's Easter time again, and it's time to stop by Paradise Fisheries, located at number 16 Harley Street, Mount Royal Avenue. We are now accepting those large orders for fish fries on Good Friday. So give us a call today at 325-3301 or stop by our stores between the hours of 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Monday to Fridays and 9 a.m. on Saturdays. Paradise Fisheries, still your one-stop shop for all of those Easter desires.
RBC debit card holders, collecting a new RBC Visa debit chip card just got easier with Saturday opening hours. Visit our Cable Beach, Carmichael Road, Palmdale, and Prince Charles branches March 16th and March 23rd between 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. with one form of valid government-issued ID. Start enjoying greater security and contactless features with your new RBC Visa debit chip card now. RBC.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And I did so Friday evening, boom! The people have died of working. Bada bada, Lord, they made the disco playing, boom! It made them feel like dancing. Ain't no summer set. Britain will be greater with the disco operator. 5 double 18 and a 6 feeter. And this is DJ Talk Sweeter. Still on the Twitter up with the echo chamber. Watch your man. Play the play. I demo tear off the game.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio. Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation. On this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Friday afternoon here live and in full effect, it is the middle of the month, March 15th. We're almost out of the first quarter. First quarter was riddled with blood. Can we say that? 32 persons murdered for the year. Bananas. I don't even know what to say. I don't know what to say. I guess that this is just one of the things that you expect in our society. It's just one of the things that you look at. This crime, illegal immigration, all these things, these are just the way of life. Do your best to stay out of the way. All right? Don't worry about those things. Those things will happen whether you are here or not. they'll happen. All you need to do is stay out of the way. Let's stay out of people's way. I feel like we're losing a bit of ourselves. You know, when Thanos, clipped his finger and you looked at everyone. If you're a Marvel guy and you looked at everyone and they started to fade, I think that's where we are. The conviction of who we are, the strength of who we are, the community that existed, that kind of a bond that we had, the reason why we got up, the way that we communicated, the way that we touched each other is slowly but surely drifting. And the only paste, the only glue that we have at this particular time is the older generation who is fading. Some into a senile nature, some into the grave. Their stories are untold. Their passions, their spirits, they leave entirely. It's almost as though they never existed. They have their stories, these experiences wrapped within them, and they take it back to the grave. They take it to the grave, rather. This is crazy. I know I get deep with y'all sometimes, but I feel like we could fix this. I feel like we could at least try. Just try. I want to have this conversation with y'all. Give me a call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the Family Violence, 242-300-5720. Hit me up, 422-4796. And let's join in the conversation. It's a Friday evening. We don't have to make it so heavy. We could be able to get light and do the thing, right? So it says, this text is coming through. I suggest the book Blood and Honor for reading by teenage boys. It's a powerful story that teaches invaluable lessons in perspective, context, and prejudice, and hope and redemption, right? So Blood and Honor is the book, right? And, you know, coming into the office today, coming into the studio today, security officer stops me downstairs, and he says to me that someone was on. And says that, I said, well, y'all know, you're all retired. You know, we're just having casual conversation. And he said, boy, someone was on and said that I need $600,000 saved if I'm going to be able to go in retirement. I need to put that aside. And I thought it was peculiar that he said that. I said, that's absolutely impossible. So he said, no, it's impossible. You could do it. I said, how? How? How can anyone in this society save $600,000 in preparation for? I mean, let's fix it. Minimum wage, $1,000 a month, $12,000 a year. You double that, let's take you $24,000 a year. $24,000 a year, you find a woman who's making $24,000 a year because y'all meet on the job site. $48,000 a year y'all making. You'll get to the bank, you're young enough, you're smart enough, you look determined within yourself. The bank decides to be able to give you a mortgage for a low-cost home. You get $1,500 a month rent. $1,500 a month mortgage. Right? This is only numbers. These are only numbers. The woman didn't get pregnant yet. None of these things. She decided to have a first child. She had an issue with the first child. You had to fix that, pay for that. She had to go there, get some things taken care of, so forth and so on. Now you're on to your second child. So you won't get everything done. You're paying for the doctor, so forth. Come on, y'all. Let's talk in this society. Where the hell do we get $600,000 from? My point. When we start to talk about these things, about what young boys should do, these children can't even read, man. We skip it into what works for us based upon the fact that we have spilt and been exposed to certain environments. Someone told us that we could be better than we are. And we climb the ranks significantly to be able to show ourselves approved. We studied. Education liberated us and gave us opportunity. We saw things differently. I open my mouth and say, I can't believe people is, and then I have to shut up. How dare I take such an elevated position to believe that I am better than other persons based upon what I was predisposed to? And I shut up. I can't believe people, and then I stop. You know why? Because they don't know no different. None. This is me. This is where I am. This is my conviction. This is my position. This is my predisposure. Big grown people. You started this off. Big grown people. I look at it, right? Look at this. You know, you're driving in your car. And then you look to your left or you look to your right. And then something hits you. Why is this person lip hanging so low? I mean, this is, I'm not making fun of people. I'm simply saying. These are things that you could avoid these things. You see your children doing things right now. As a parent, you say, hey, stop that. My little girl is starting, she doing foolishness. She feel teeth in her mouth now. She grinding her teeth. So I say, hey, stop that foolishness. Don't do this. This is not what your teeth are for. And I explain to her. So she stops it. And every time I look at her, she understands. She has to go through, okay, daddy said not to do this. Despite the fact that she can't communicate, this information is already embedded in her. You look at people and you say to yourself, well, the parent's going to say, you know, take your thumb out your mouth, or this, or that, whatever the case may be. And then I have to stop. I have to stop with making these assessments about other parents and other people could have done because people ain't grow up like us. They haven't. I think that's the lack of empathy that exists in our society. The distance that exists between people. The fact that you are insensitive to the plight of another man. But that's them, not me. I ain't got nothing to do with that. Has placed us in such an insensitive state that we don't even know how to be a community anymore. We don't know. We've lost the flair to care. It's hard to talk about. It's hard for you to be able to do any sort of self-diagnosis and being able to diagnose yourself and make this sort of an assessment within yourself. Am I one of these people? I tell you, I know I was. I know I was. I had to stop the training that my family gave me. My family, which is the stereotypical Bahamian family, which introduced a Turks Island person to it, and had to pull back on some of the disdain that they had for a particular community. And so they, you know, they pointed it at another community, which was the Haitians. Y'all don't want to talk. We've been taught to hate, but we've watered that hate. We've matured that, provided sunlight, photosynthesis. We strengthen it every day. We come and nourish it. We look at it. We say, hey, hate, how you doing today? You okay? And you make sure that it's groomed every day until now it's matured. Matured. We've learned this. We didn't understand what it was. We've learned this. And in our times later, we've justified this is why we've done that. I want to be decent with you. Haitians are not our problem. They're not. They are a major problem, but they are not the problem that we have in this country. The problem, with asterisks around it in bolden, is corruption. There are people that are taking money, accepting these particular persons, letting them know how to navigate. There are people that are taking $5,000 a head for these Haitians to be able to come ashore. There are people out here that are content from rum running and drug time that this is just the next dispensation of darkness and I got to get into it. This is an industry that our countries have thrived off of and it is corruption. There is no expectation to be able to whitewash our country, lily white, to a point where you see none of these things and everyone walks around with a halo. But there is truly an opportunity to be able to deal with things that are in your face. I'm indifferent with this. I listen to your voice notes. I listen to your chat group thing. I'm not even in your group. People sending me these things. I listen to it. 15 minutes, miss, you run on with. 15 minutes with sheer stupidity. But I can't get in your business because I ain't grow up like you. 15 minutes. 20 minutes. Absolute hate and vitriol. We got to talk like this. I got to be decent as I say these things, and we continue to be able to dive into these conversations. I want y'all to be able to do this. I know this is hard. I know this is hard. How about the hell are you talking about today? Let them Haitian go back their way. Yeah, I agree with you. They should go. they should go. I agree with you. If you're here illegal, you should go. If they ain't gonna deal with you, you should go. I agree with you. But does that have anything to do with your hate? My God, now you got this big tree of hate. All the Haitians going in our country. What you can do with the hate? You can turn it back on the Turks Island people. Then all of them go. Then what you can do with the hate? Who you can turn it on? Why don't we just turn it towards corruption the first time? And let's deal with that. Yo, why not? I got to take my second commercial break. And then we're going to get back here and be able to wrap this thing up. Quick commercial break. Be right back.
Foundation. The foundation.
Start your day off with a mouth-watering deal. Available only at Wendy's. Introducing our new weekday breakfast deal that gives you a choice between three delicious items for just $3. You heard right. Monday through Thursday mornings, you get a choice between our Bakery Bliss croissant, breakfast baconator, or a three-piece pancake meal. Each only $3. Stop by your nearest Wendy's today. Better mornings always start at Wendy's.
RBC debit card holders, collecting a new RBC Visa debit chip card just got easier with Saturday opening hours. Visit our Cable Beach, Carmichael Road, Palmdale and Prince Charles branches March 16th and March 23rd between 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. with one form of valid government-issued ID. Start enjoying greater security and contactless features with your new RBC Visa debit chip card now. RBC.
Productions presents Showtime at Nassau Cruise Port. Experience live performances every weekend. The elegance of classical music, the infectious energy of Latin nights, the smooth sounds of jazz night, and a delightful evening of Bahamian music. March 15th and 16th, and March 22nd and 23rd. Visit www.nassaucruiseport.com/events to learn more. Nassau Cruise Port. The place to be.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. Foundation. The foundation. The foundation.
We are back. We are back. We are back, ladies and gentlemen. 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant and your company. My guest has arrived. His foot mighty short today. Maybe just have one foot. He has arrived. He's here with us today. I'm grateful for him to be in the company, in the house with us. Say hey to the people while you're here, my brother.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. It's just a great feeling to experience another Friday here in the Bahamas. I was downtown and listening to the tourist remarks when they went to the ATM machine today, Howard. The tourists suck a teeth and say, I didn't know tourists could suck teeth. Suck a teeth and say, mother's sick, $8.50 for withdrawal? I say, $8.50 for withdrawal. I say, well, welcome to the Bahamas. You know, we try to do it better than the rest. But it's good to be here.
My brother, for the entire week, we've been talking about Haitians, right? Well, let's fix that.
You mean the people
for the entire week, we've been talking about the people of Haiti. We've been talking about illegal migrants. We've been talking about the precautionary measures that we need to take on our borders. We've been talking about the relationship that exists in Haiti between the Caribbean community and Haiti. We've been talking about the contribution that was made from the United States of America, Chargé d'Affaires, being able to Secretary of Defense, rather, being able to give another $100 million, expanding their contribution to some $333 million. We've been talking about whether or not this will suffice. We've been talking about Barbecue, who is the anti-Che, right? He is sort of the rebellious head of what's happening down in Haiti. We've been talking about everything that exists around the corner and being able to look at our borders. And every time at the beginning of the week, we had Luby Georges on. And I think that actually kind of spiraled into something that rather torpedoed into something that wasn't the intent. I got cussed out several times this week. I did. You know, anytime you have conversation about legal migration, if you don't say, well, why all don't go back? If you don't say things like this, if you try to have dialogue, it seems as though you are a traitor and a sympathizer. I literally, the woman called me traitor and sympathizer this week, which is peculiar, right? So in the midst of that conversation, I think we're here now. As we amalgamate everything that's happened this week to make a determination as to where we are and where we need to be, we're looking at this. Now, I'm not a proponent for illegal migration or being able to ensure that we accommodate all these people to our shores. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that if we deal with some other issues, and that you and I have had this conversation before, if we deal with some other issues, the elephant in the room that has actually morphed into an elephant and a gorilla. So it's a monster in the room that no one's talking about. And there's only expectation that another head will pop out of this monster in due time and due season. And that's corruption. The corruption that exists with every subsector, including the church. Including the church. That accept these things and turn their head, including the church. That are right as JPs to say that they know Jean-Claude. And he's been here for X amount of years. And that man in your church, you never see him before. Including the church. The corruption that exists in our country, we seek to turn our heads to that, but identify a low-hanging fruit, which is Haitians. Talk to me.
The conversation, Howard, is only repetitive because we as Bahamian people fail to really understand who we are as a people, the whole diaspora. We fail to admit who we are as a people. We fail to understand the history of us as a people. And we simply have a conversation based on our own socioeconomic standing and well-being. And then we cast aside those who look like us, but who are not as fortunate as us. And the reason why I say that is because it's so hypocritical to me that the very same people of the Bahamas, how many of us per capita, leave the shores of the Bahamas under the guise of economic depression and go to the United States without proper documentation, go to Canada without proper documentation.
Are you talking about illegal migrants?
Bahamians do it too. This is what I'm saying.
Absolutely. We laughed our guts out at the Johnsons.
Okay. So
you forget it.
So
they wanted to be able to go to Canada.
Okay.
As climate refugees.
You remember that story? Yes.
Everybody laughed
in
at
the
that.
Airport. Yeah.
And they was dead serious.
Oh, they wasn't playing.
They wasn't playing no games. They reach.
Okay, they got
they didn't find their money, they here.
Yeah. Opportunity. Land of opportunity. Yes, yes, yes. Bahamians do it too. Okay, let me put it into another perspective for you. How many Bahamian women who still reside in the Bahamas leave our shores 5-6 months pregnant with a big dress on to hide the belly?
My God.
To have their children born in the United States so that in the future
they don't want to talk like
this.
They
may have a U.S. green card or U.S. citizenship.
They don't want to talk like this.
No, I ain't going to talk like this because I could.
They don't want to talk like
this. I will talk like this.
That ain't the same thing, Garth.
No, it's the same thing because people ever. See this whole idea of
It's not the same thing.
A God-serving country, a Christian nation. This is where Christianity exits the door when it comes to migration issues. No one wants to talk about Jesus when it comes to migration issues.
We believe
God
in
created
Jesus.
All. God created the world for all.
He understands.
And therefore, people will continue to move. The children of Israel left Egypt and they moved. The children of Israel were in captivity in Babylon. They were in captivity during the Medo-Persian Empire. They were in captivity during the Greek Empire. They were in captivity during the Roman Empire. Captivity has never escaped us as a people. We've been in captivity even in North America. Some of the first black people that came to the Bahamas came as a result of slavery. It was a migration. It was a situation of migration. When you look at the Geechee people, who I'm actually a descendant of Geechee, came to the Bahamas. The first settlers in the Bahamas after the War of Independence. What are you talking about?
They don't want to talk like this.
As a black people, we got to move. Bob Marley told you, Exodus.
Content.
Exodus. Talk about the Exodus that Bob Marley speaks about.
They are content with the fact that all of us collectively, Geechee, Black Seminole Indians, Turks Island, Jamaican descent, all of the Aruba, whoever in you, we are content that the Bahamian part of us is going to override all of that. And the one thing that we can be able to find commonality in is looking at the disdain that's happening into our society and the breakdown and the targets on the Haitians' back. Let's talk about this quick. We got to be able to get to news and be right back after this.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation. It is a beautiful Friday. We're here with very good friends, good company. The lines are open if you want to be able to participate. 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the family of islands, 242-300. 5720, hit me up, 422-4796. Here with Garth. Garth, when you left off, you started to have this kind of a conversation about where we are in the country and being able to identify the fact that corruption, I guess it only goes one way. Mm-hmm. I guess it only goes one way. You only can see the wrong that's being done to you. But my God, what we inflict upon others, not everybody now. You can't put everybody in this bucket. But let me tell you one thing. This bucket, it getting full. Because there's this concept and idea that exists in our country, that exists upon among men now, not just in our country, that listen to me. Let me get me straight. Not concerned about community. We're not concerned about anything. Let me get me straight.
That's it.
You understand?
You. I mean, like I said, you know, the world at large, each individual, truly in the majority desires a better life, truly does. You being an educated person and other people who've had the privilege to go abroad to school, you know you don't want to return back to the Bahamas because as far as you're concerned, like you said before, Howard, your ma, pa tell you don't come back here, or you just figured the opportunities would not exist in your particular you know, genre or your occupational choice. And so when you go to school, the first thing you look for is a foreigner for a boyfriend or girlfriend with every intention that you want to get married. And you want to stay where you are. And you want to be like everyone else on the campus. And you now have a new community base, a new friendship base. And you try to immerse yourself. Some of y'all Bahamians go to States for 2 days, 3 days. And you're already talking American, eh? Got American accent, eh? You go to Canada and you switch your talk, eh? Because now you want to be like them and you want to hide your true identity. And only until July 10th comes and then we have a celebration in Atlanta or in Toronto, everybody show up to the embassy or to the tourism office and, yeah, man. I from Baintown. I from Chippenham. Yeah, man. I from East Street. Yeah, boy, what you saying? Cuz, what you saying? And then you play a little New Bahamian music and you dance, wine, and eat good food and your crawfish and lobster and your conch and the rest of that good stuff fish. And then tomorrow, you're back to being someone else again. We are no different than people from around the world. Those people who have made it to our shores are people just like us who are seeking better opportunity. not everyone from Haiti is evil. Not everyone from Haiti is bad. Some of the people that come here, they have legal background. They got PhDs. They got some who were medical doctors. We got some who were nurses. We have some who were engineers. Not everyone cuts grass. Not everyone lifts concrete. Not everyone is a carpenter or electrician. But I'll say this much to you. When I was away in school, ask me what my five jobs were. I cut grass in Michigan when the sun came up early in the morning in the summertime. The sun is up from 7 o'clock. And then there's dew all over the ground, so the grass isn't dry until 10 o'clock. And then I cut grass from 10 o'clock until 10 at night when the sun goes down at 10 in the night in Michigan.
You can't cut wet grass, sir.
You cannot cut wet grass. So I had to work from 10 to 10, 12 hours cutting grass on Sundays. I'm not asking nobody this. It wasn't no church for me. I had to go cut grass. And then during the week, I worked in the cafeteria at 4 o'clock in the morning. You know what I did 4 o'clock in the morning? I washed dishes. I used to cut up lettuce. I used to cut up tomatoes. That's what I did when I was in school. When I left and went to class, after class, I had to go down into Benton Harbor, and then I taught a class in male mentorship. And then I left and I went back to the campus, and then I did telemarketing for It Is Written program. And so for my whole 2.5 years in school, I was nothing short of a hustler. The government of America says that a foreigner with an F-1 visa could work 20 hours a week. Ask me how much hours I was working. Round the clock. Because I had to hustle to pay my fees. And so people are people everywhere. What you now need to do, though, Bahamian people, is understand what is going on in terms of migration to the Bahamas. How can we as a nation benefit from this migration and grow ourselves into a better country? Until we have that idea, nothing is going to happen in this country other than sorrow, pain, and tears.
I want to read this text to you. It says, tell Garth, he cannot compare Bahamians moving to America as the same as economic refugees coming from the poor country. I see why he speaks with belligerence. He's Geechee out of the bush.
Oh, yeah.
This is what the people tell
him. Oh, yeah. And all the Andrews people, Geechee.
You can't tell these people nothing.
Oh, boy. If you go to South Carolina right now, if you go to North Carolina right now, you go to Charleston, you go to Savannah, South Carolina and Georgia. Right now, they Geechee. You go to, you think you're downtown Bay Street. And I'm proud to say that. Some of the most prominent people in American history are Geechee. Huh? And so when you talk about who we are as a people, that person, I appreciate their sense of humor. But the truth be told is that your backside got here on a boat too from Africa. You were migrated here not by choice, but they forced you here. And if you had any power to do better, you could go way back to Africa where you come from. But you don't have that power.
I want to tell a story. I want to tell a short story. I told you the story, but I want to tell a short story. When I was off to school, before I made a determination, I always knew I wanted a family, right? I see your telephone calls. I got to go to your calls. I come to your calls, right? I always wanted a family, always wanted to have kids, always wanted to be this kind of a great father. I told you from I was 16, I prayed for a wife that I loved and that loved me. And there's a significant reason that I did that kind of a prayer, because there's some girls that say they love me that I didn't want nothing to do with. Jesus, God, I didn't want nothing to do with these girls. I didn't want to. There was one girl tell me, grade 5 seemed to speak to me, all these things happened. There was young, one young lady say, Howard, I just want you to marry me. I don't care how much you cheat on me. In the 5th grade, this is what she tells me. She said, I don't care how much you cheat on me. You got 1,500,000 children. Just marry me.
Wow.
And she can't understand why I didn't want to marry her.
She ain't safe.
Well, she didn't. Was saved. This is a mindset in the 5th grade.
Yeah, she ain't safe. She ain't me.
She can't help me to be the man I want to be. She can't cuss me out if I decide to go left or right. She down for whatever I into. My God, I could never go to heaven like that.
No.
I can't get there. So I didn't want nothing to do with her. God, I can tell you this.
You got
a
standard.
I always knew that I wanted to get married. Yeah. I didn't want a bunch of rowdy women when rowdy come say, you never do nothing for me, because I saw too much of that in my life.
Uh-huh.
Right? But I always made a determination. I want a family. I want children. I want this. I want that. And then when I started to get into a relationship, my wife and I, my current wife, right? My only wife, but at the current age. Girl, what do you mean, right? So my wife and I had a conversation. I said to her, I don't want to have the kids in the States, because we had this option. I did have this option. I have significant family members in the United States of America. They got houses, they got this, they got that, they got access. A lot of them, some of them got money.
Mm-hmm.
They asked us if we wanted to come over there. We deliberated, my wife and I, we talked about it. And I said to her, because I told you I was always spiritually sensitive. And I said to her, baby doll, you know, my parents always say that Jesus Christ is coming now. We're not here to say that he is, but we're saying that there is an increase in violence that's happening globally.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, my first son was born in 2006. Okay? Now, I said to her, I said, there's an increase in violence that's happening globally. There is things that are happening all over. My maturity started to solidify during the time of the Gulf War. So we had to do papers on it. We had to read up on it. We had to pay attention. And so my eyes opened up to the world as I ingested this information to see exactly what was happening. And I determined that I didn't want to have any children in the United States of America. Now, why? Not because this is a horrible place. I love to visit it, so forth and so on. But the fact of the matter is I was convinced that if I had children in the United States of America as a child, as a young man, that when my children became old, after being able to reap the benefits of being an American citizen and all these things, that when it's time for war, they're going to be at the front line. This is my mindset. Not necessarily what's enshrined in Constitution, not what's enshrined in policy, but the modification that has to happen to ensure that they could defend their borders, they can call on your church. They're not going to call on the red-blooded Americans that lives in Central America, so forth and so on. They're calling on your churn. They're calling on the Mexican churn. They're calling on the Caribbean American churn, the Jamaican churn, the this, the that. They're calling on them like the proverbial Urias to go at the front of the band. And we're going to lose a generation that we've invested in. This is my mindset. And the second thing is, I thought my children should contribute to community. Now, I say all that to say there are people going over there, making their own decisions, looking to be able to benefit off the fat of the land. But I don't have nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Like I tell you, I had access to this. Right now, if my wife get pregnant, my last baby, she asked me whether or not she wanted to go to the States. And I stayed steadfast. My baby 2 years old now. She can be 2 years old in June. And I said, no, I don't think we should go to the States. Why? We're born here to contribute here. This is my mind. This is my mind. And every day I have to pour into them, despite what they see, that, hey, listen, you have a responsibility to be able to rise above. Mm-hmm. And my daughter hates this. But daddy, why does this? She hates the idea that she has to contribute to something that just doesn't work. So she wants to go off to Boston.
Mm.
My son in North Carolina. Now, I can only tell them what I'm saying to you. And they can tell them.
North Carolina's a great state.
But they have to make a determination for themselves. Do you think it's the same thing for Haitians? Do you think that they wanted to contribute to the development of Haiti, but they had to look at the survival of themselves? Because they're in different situations. All of us have to make a choice. And if you're looking at your now, you make a choice for your now. But you have to make a determination for your future. Because things are going to change in due time and due season. My God, things are going to change in this world. The pandemic has already shown us the whole world shut down. These people are going to make modifications to ensure that they supply the people who are taking care of them. I just want to be as decent as possible. Let's go to this line. Call on the line. Thank you so much for holding.
Hey, good afternoon, brothers. How you all doing?
I'm good, man. What's up?
Hey, God, see if you can find honesty in this. I'm a brown skin comedian, brother, on the plantation.
Yes, sir. I like that.
And the one world order financing. If the first homo sapiens came from Africa, the whites are my brothers and sisters. You know, some of them a little messed up, but now it is alleged some of my royalty brothers and sisters went to Africa and got some diamonds and pearls and some other stuff. Or Malise, they stole some black brothers and sisters and brought them to America.
Mm-hmm.
Now I hear some Bahamians saying, the Linden Walk with kings and queens.
Mm-hmm.
Not my good Prime Minister Moses. The Linden ain't walking with no tea, blankety blanking royalty. Because boy Malise, old bar bridge, yes, they run. fly to the moon.
Boy, you're singing. Why are you singing?
Sir, did you just pull out a guitar?
Yes, he did. And he ain't listening to you no more. He jamming.
By the hands of the old.
Jamming in the name of the Lord.
We forward in this generation.
You got people singing, Howard Grant.
Triumphantly, won't you help to sing? Emancipate yourselves from mental slaves. None but ourselves. Our mind, have no fear.
Sir, I appreciate you giving me a call, my brother. I thank you so much. I thank you so very kindly for being able to call in, sir. That is the highlight of my day, I assure you. For the next 2-3 weeks, I will never forget that. I thank you so much for your contribution. And I thank you for that, to being able to be, kind of propelled to contribute like that. I thank you. Next telephone call on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon, Howard. How you doing?
I'm good, man. How you doing? You have a guitar? Have a guitar, first and foremost?
Oh, he needs to have a trumpet. You got to do the band going.
Go ahead, Gus.
Gentlemen, I wanted to say one of two things.
Mm-hmm.
I think we are being disingenuous when people say that we hate Haitians. I disagree with that, mm-hmm. because I draw an illustration to you. Okay, take a look at this. A person breaks into your house. Okay? And he breaks into your house, what are you going to do? Are you going to give him your house? Or are you going to have him prosecuted and locked up? My thing is, people who come here the right way, there's no problem with them. Stay as long as they want, as long as they obey the rules and the laws. Mm-hmm. That's what we have laws for.
Mm-hmm.
My thing is, there's no problem with anybody coming to the country once they do it the right way. Your guest was saying that he was in the United States and he was working all these different hours.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were caught, what were they going to do with you? They were going to deport you. Just remember that. They were going to deal with you because you broke the law. And that is all we're looking at.
In my honesty, and this is why I always hold true to this, it's very easy to cast stones. Very easy. Until you check your own closet. You see, we all have some faults. I've never said to you I've been perfect. As a matter of fact, if you knew who Garth Roseborough was in St. Augustine's College, like Mr. Benedict Dawson would have told you, I should have been dead before I got to 16 years of age. I am one of the most mischievous people you'll ever meet on God's earth. But I am a survivor. I'm a survivor. I'm human. And guess what? When people are in desperate measures, they do desperate things.
But that's the thing. That's why, regardless of them being in desperate measures, you have laws.
Yes, you do have laws.
That's what laws are for.
And the law only applies. The law applies only, though.
Don't follow the laws.
No, no, listen to what I'm saying to you, though. Listen to what I'm saying to you, bro. Let's have a philosophical.
One quick thing before I go. I'm not trying to disrupt your show or anything.
No. I appreciate you.
If the people keep coming here from Haiti, I'm just using them as an example. If they keep coming here, we'll be just like what they are in Haiti right now. The people who have no laws, anarchy, and everything will be just like that.
Okay,
we
let me.
You have to have laws and rules.
I agree with you, right?
You do have.
I agree with you, right?
The laws, you have to be just
okay, right. Listen to what I'm saying to you. There's two sides to this. Number
thank
one.
Thank you so much for your telephone call, my brother.
Thank
Howard,
you
I appreciate the law-abiding comment. He is quite correct. The law-abiding comment is true. Right? If you break the law, there are consequences. But there are only consequences, sir, if you're caught. That's around the world. When we were on the slave plantation and you ran away, you only had consequences if you were caught. If you got away, you were free. That's just the law of the universe. The second part of this is very simple. The reason why you have a Haitian influx is put the blame in your own lap, eh? Bahamian people at one point stopped working. We stopped cutting our own yard. We stop going to the pump for ourselves. We stop mixing concrete and driving hammer and nail. We just refuse to work. All of us want to be a boss. The Haitian could only come here if there's an opportunity that exists. And if the opportunity could only exist if there is a void. So don't tell me nothing about no law and consequences, that bunch of nonsense. Get on your backside and go to friggin' work. Your children, I'm looking at your children. Your children, they ain't no good. In this country, they ain't no good. Show me the children who are there mixing concrete right now. Which parent you know right now tell a child, go cut the grass?
and go weed, take a cutlass and weed the grass out. You see that happening anywhere in the Bahamas? You want layback. You want carbon credit. You want natural resources money. You want all these things, but where is the building of character through hard work in this country?
Now, when we talk about the Bahamas, sometimes we are very Nassau-centric. Maybe you're not seeing this in Nassau, but the family of islands, this is what they do. This is where I come from, brother. This is all I know. This is all I know.
In some of them.
I know how to take care of my son. I told you.
Islands dying from old age. They ain't even want fish. The fish right on the shore.
The fish dying from old age.
Old age. I'm asking you. Snapper on the shore.
You catch him, you still can't eat.
Conch as big as your head. And no one will go there and pick them up and sell them to the Nassau and sell. I'm not trying to say every Bahamian is lazy. I'm not saying there doesn't exist a culture of task and hardworking Bahamian people. There are some of us who still have that industrial mind. But for the most part, when you look at your country, I will never go to America unless there's an opportunity. Let me tell you something. Sidney Poitier stayed in America. Why? Because there was opportunity. We claim him. He's Bahamian. But where did he dwell and where did he work? In America. Why? Because it worked for him. People only go where it works for you. That's all I'm simply saying.
I wanted to go to America.
And do what?
I wanted to live in America.
And do what?
I thought I would have been born in America. All these stories my mother told me. I wanted to live in America.
Why? For the beaches?
No, man.
For the sand?
I thought, as I look around the society, especially now, with what I know now, I say things, boy, if I was living in America, I would do this and do this. But I couldn't know these things unless it was the experiences in the Bahamas. I couldn't learn these things. And that's just the journey of life. The experiences that we pick up is right now, not tomorrow, not later. We pick up these experiences now. I wanted to live in America as a child. And as I grew older, I give God praise for this country. When I come back from Cuba and seeing the devastation that exists in there, the deprivation, but still seeing this sort of a life in this chair, I had greater appreciation for this country. And I knew that I wanted to help.
You know what helped me to come back home? I went on a job interview. I went on a job interview, $60,000 a year back in the day. The only thing I had to do was Acapure water trucks. Get one of them trucks, take the carpet off the front step of any office or corporation, put the dirty one in the truck, and put a fresh one down. $60,000 a year to do that. I was doing my second master's degree. I sat in the office with a gentleman who was of Caucasian color, and I gave him a best spiel. You know what that man looked at me and said to me? Listening to my accent, because my accent never changed. He said, sir, you have the brain of a CEO of this company, so we don't have any room for you. Now, what's so hard with picking up a doggone mat and replacing it? I got to eat.
But you know that's what the interview process is for.
But I have to eat.
The interview process.
I don't care how smart I am. I got to eat.
You, they ask you in the interview process, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Right? They ask you that. But it's a redundant question because the other questions that they ask you was to determine whether or not you're coming for my job. And if you're coming for my job, so you can't get this job. That's just what it is. That's just what it is. If you sound like you, yes, sir, mister, I'm just so happy. Oh, sir, do I call you master? Oh, yeah, you can get the job today.
So guess what? That's what our brothers do from Haiti.
Yeah, so you just play
They come
stupid.
Here and they say, boss, you got any job here today? Yeah, man, when you cut my grass, if I ain't got
you
no problem with that.
You fit in. Let me take this telephone call. Caller on the line. Go ahead. Go ahead, caller on the line. Caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. Hi. Hey.
What's going on?
What's up, Anton?
Everything's going, man. How are you doing?
All is well. You sound low. Turn it up for me. Yeah, go ahead.
I can try.
Yeah, I got you.
God, what's going on, guys?
Well, you know, it's Friday. It's a free Friday, so you know why. You know, I got to have one of these hard-hitting conversations. Yeah, I feel like I could duck for the weekend and recoup by next week Wednesday. People might be nicer to me by Wednesday.
Look, yeah, I will pick up with some of those comments that you put out there a few moments back. I didn't catch the first half of the show, but you know, I'm happy to hear that you all are discussing matters related to Haiti and Haitians again, right? In particular, Haitians living in the Bahamas, or Bahamians with Haitian descent, right? And this is a misconception in the country. And persons, I don't know if they try to use it as a crutch to try and give some validity they're senseless comments. But the fact of the matter is, in this country, in the Bahamas, in particular in the construction industry or in the landscaping industry,
okay,
when you hire Haitians, you ain't hiring Haitians and paying them less than what Bahamians are being paid, my brother. It don't work that way.
Not no more.
No.
That is not true. That is misinformation.
Yeah, not
that
no more.
That is deliberate lie.
Yeah, daddy, daddy ain't gonna do it for you less.
No.
You got to exactly. pay him.
Yes.
Exactly. They are being paid at the exact same levels or even more than the humans. And yeah. guess what?
Why?
It has nothing to do. It has nothing to do with no slave labor. It has to do with something along the lines of what God started to talk about with that particular, I had a text or caller. They are persons who are going to come on your job. They're going to stay on your job. They're going to give you an honest day's work, an honest day's pay.
That's it.
You can set your timeline for completion by the work that they're going to put in and be assured that you are going to meet your completion schedule. You can be assured that you will not run over budget in terms of cost because you can't get them to come and do what they're supposed to do. You can be assured that when they come on your job, whatever materials they meet on your job, they're going to leave on your job.
Hold on now. Hold on now, Don. I know several Haitians will take a block a day.
The shanty town.
And build a house.
The shanty town.
Where they get this material
from? The shanty town. A whole town.
Right, I don't know what you're talking about, right? I don't know what you're talking about. But persons that I'm aware of, they will come and work hard for their money and go to the store and buy their block, right? Mm. To do whatever they have to do.
Oh, wow.
And so the point that I'm making is, you have persons who come into the country from hardship, and they know that their credibility, their name is all they have. And they're not going to lose that for a couple of dollars. And so they're going to work hard in order to gain that money, in order to take care of themselves while they're here, and their families that they had to live back in their homeland.
And
that has been my experience. That has been backed up by the Bahamas Contractors Association in this country. And expanding a little bit on what God had to say. If the opportunities did not exist for work and for good workers in the country, foreigners would not be able to come into the country and pursue these opportunities.
Well, that's why they wouldn't be able to build Abaco.
They would not be able to build Abaco. They would not be able to build any Lutra. They would not be able to build on Grand Bahama. They would not be able to build here in the city. They would not be able to be at work.
People love lies. People love
agriculture. Howard and God, do you think y'all get paid any Bahamian $50 or $55 or $60 a day to go work in a hot sun on the agriculture field or down address? And that's scorching sun?
No.
That ain't gonna happen. That is not gonna happen, my brother. If we are looking to truly develop ourselves in a country where we are going to feed ourselves, it is a must that we rely on foreign labor component in this country.
That's heavy what you're saying.
I'll end with this point.
That's heavy.
Howard and God. The biggest problem, and I continue to repeat this, and I've been repeating this for 20 years, the biggest problem we have that is showing up these situations on the back end that people try to make as a problem, but it really isn't, is lack of opportunities. If you see Bahamians had opportunities abound in our country, you know what that would equate to or translate to? It would mean that Bahamians would be able to build their homes. And when they get to that point of building their homes, these very ones who are talking all this nonsense on these talk shows would be the very ones looking for those people who they can rely on to come and get their work done every day.
My
whether
God.
It be a Bahamian or Haitian. We lack opportunities in our country and the PLP can fix that. And a result of lacking opportunities in the country is you will cry and bicker and complain about everything going on around you until you find yourself in a position of opportunity.
And this New Day administration will fix that. They provide opportunities.
You know, I got to add right? And guess what, Howard? This year, I believe we're going to have an explosion in our country as it relates to, and look, this ain't political. This year, I believe that we are going to have an explosion as it relates to opportunities, as it relates to wealth generation, as it relates to empowerment, as it relates to
I gotta let you go, Anton. I appreciate you. I gotta go, Anton.
One thing.
The music done on.
PLP. All the way.
All right, Fred. Bye. I hope that it ain't an implosion within the caucus of the PLP, because that's normally how it starts. It ain't an explosion for all of us to be able to at least pick up the fragments. Hit me with some progressive shrapnel. Hit me with that. If it's an implosion, I can't even see it. Quick commercial break. We'll be right back after this.
Why settle for an ordinary burger when you can indulge in the new Farmhouse King at Burger King Nassau? Sink your teeth into two juicy flame-grilled beef patties piled high with crisp bacon, American cheese, crispy onions, a fried egg, and a spicy mayo sauce that adds bold flavor to every bite. Enjoy the new Farmhouse King as a combo with fries and a drink, or if you're feeling extra hungry, try the King's Feast, available exclusively at Burger King Nassau.
All those loans I had were so overwhelming. Fidelity's debt consolidation loan combined all my loan payments into one easy payment with a built-in savings plan that pays me unbeatable interest. It's time to make that move to Fidelity. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Bonneville Bones, established in 1970, is the leader in men's fashion in the Bahamas. We're conveniently located in the Mall at Marathon and the Harbor Bay Shopping Plaza, and fully stocked with everything you need for all occasions. Our Harbor Bay location is one door north of Alive, with the black and white signage of Bonneville Boutique. Both locations are open from 10 to 7 p.m., Monday through Saturday. Bonneville Bones and Bonneville Boutique, still the leader in men's fashion. Located in the Mall at Marathon and the Harbor Bay Shopping Plaza.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant and your company. There's a couple of texts coming through. Let me see if I can read one of them or a few. Somebody texted me a little earlier. Let me read it for you so you can see exactly what they say. Their indecency is rich. It says, good show as usual, Howard. I saw you and your wife today at Environmental Health. Howard, you are too big for that woman. And who is win an argument when you're around? First and foremost, she's win the argument. Let's just be very clear, right? I always say, I have to acquiesce and bow, genuflect and let her. Happy wife, happy life. And obviously, I can't be too big for her. She had all my children. Praise God. They healthy. They strong. All the children, including the baby, bigger than her, right? My baby, she can be too. She already done bigger than her. Right? So don't fight me. This is my wife, right? And she loved me very much, and I love her very much, right? What are you talking about? I hate when people put mayonnaise and conch salad. What are you talking about? We're talking about something different entirely. What are you talking about, right? So he says, why does God's contribution always end in a story about him? LOL, I gone when off key singing start. Or somebody is texting these things, right? These texts are coming through. So he says, Howard Grant, while I seldom share my opinions on matters today, you are spot on, and in my humble opinion, frankly, what is tragic is our farming of the conversation when addressing Haitians. Is that framing? Framing. It should be F-R-A. Okay, framing, right? It's our framing of the conversation when addressing Haitians. So it says, I am friends with Haitians, but big caps, but as black folks, we have been there, done that during slavery. I like blacks, just don't date my daughter or seek an
Well,
or seek an invitation to my home.
that abused has become the abuser. How tragic. This is a lot. This is a lot.
Guess who's coming to dinner, though?
This is a lot.
Guess who can be coming for
dinner? This is a lot, right? As a text is coming through, it says, Howard, very interesting as usual, right? Very interesting show as usual. I don't think that the majority of Bahamians have any issue with Haitians. I have Haitian friends. However, the problem is when they enter into the country illegally and allowed to break the laws. I don't think anybody's allowed to break the laws, right? They are allowed to break the laws, setting up shanty towns and crown lounge, etc. Not only them, but every other national, including... I suppose it's Chinese. Chingwan is not a nationality, okay? It's Chinese, right? So seemingly are giving special privileges, living on the inner city with rum, shops, and Bahamian men and women flocking to those places, heading out and hustling drinks. It seems as this is a strategic, subtle and deliberate attempt to replace the indigenous Bahamian. This is a lot.
Howard, here's my issue.
I think it reeks of conspiracy.
And people, the only reason why I talk with myself a lot is because everyone thinks, Howard, I'm the happiest man on God's earth. And I really am. I'm a very, very happy man. But I have to let people know I go through trials too. You know, like when I was in school and the, you know, minimum wage was $5.15 an hour before taxes. And the lady offered me $150 to clear down a patch of trees. Now, I put all my clothes on, Howard, but, you know, they're cleaning down the poison ivy. You know what poison ivy is, Howard? I was cleaning down the poison ivy patch.
I know what poison ivy is. You should have known by your age also.
No, but I had everything on. I had on the gloves. I had on my long shirt, my long pants, everything. I was covered, but guess what happened, Howard? I had to catch a leak, and that's where the poison ivy hit me. And I had to spend a couple of days under and scratching and itching and putting color drill on my skin. But, you know, life ain't easy. Sometimes you end up in a patch of poison ivy and you just got to deal with it. That's all I'm simply saying. Now, in terms of the Bahamian, which what I like about your show, see, Bahamians keep talking about this law Biden situation. But you got a whole lot of y'all who's defraud the government, eh? You come into customs, don't want to pay the customs bill. You don't want to pay your taxes. You don't want to pay your light bill, your water. Bahamians don't talk like we're the most upstanding citizens of the universe. We got our ways.
No.
When you got our ways.
When you say don't want to pay, I don't think none of us want to pay anything.
So when it comes to customs, that money goes to the treasury.
Yeah, but we know
for the benefit of all.
No. We know to pay it. We can pay it.
We can pay it? Tell me how.
Yeah, no. And we also can pay our light bill. Now, we might not put the whole thing on it. We can put something on it.
Don't so when you come to customs, you could gladly tell the man, I want to tell you I got this much shirts, this much pants, this much socks, this much shoes, and you give them the receipt from Walmart for all the things that you buy, or you take that and hide some of that.
Yeah, no. They just put the dirty clothes on top of that.
Okay, then. So what you telling me about
law abiding? Shuffle tree of dirty
clothes. See, everyone talking like there's a saint. Everyone talking like there's a saint. And I'm just simply saying the law of the universe is just simply saying.
Why are you smelling like a gym bag? Ain't nothing in that. That was on vacation for a week. Don't go on that one.
Yeah, people always seek to do better by getting ahead. That's all I'm simply saying. That's what people do all around the world, whether it's white, black, Indian, Chinese. The Chinese here, too, they're doing the same thing. I don't hear no one complaining.
Let me tell you something. People only can get away with what you allow them to. When we start to talk about laws on the book and when we start to talk about enforcement, even when we have that conversation about 21/7 that we exist on, that we live on, and no one checks these things. They got all these technology, all these equipment. I'm still waiting for the lands what's the division now, right? The lands department to make a determination as to where the crown land. They were supposed to be able to do an assessment of how much crown land is here and provide us that information. We're still waiting on these things.
You weren't supposed to
this
get that.
This is easy stuff. No, this is
not
hard.
You're not supposed to get that.
Understand what I'm saying to you. The only way that we could hold people accountable is if we identify and we can be able to do checks and balances.
Other than that, it is corruption, sir. Above your pay grade.
That's what it is.
You above your pay grade.
This, I didn't say they should do this, you know. This is what they indicated to us that they would do.
Most of the high-end properties in New Providence is built on mangroves. Look at it. Mangrove. Do you know where...
This is the issue that they're having in Adelaide right now.
Yeah, do you know where Poop Deck is out west?
Yes.
Do you understand the Poop Deck was built on Bay Street?
On Bay Street?
Man, ask anybody even from Nassau. Poop Deck was actually Bay Street.
Well, you mean out east or out west? Which
west.
Out west.
Yeah. See, if you got
on the curb right there?
Yeah. You got money, you can get some things done around here.
No. There's heavy accusations now.
Ask anybody who grew up in Nassau. Road runs along the shoreline. Poop deck is on the shore.
Yeah, but you can't come on the radio and say the man infringing upon these things.
No, illegally. The man had a right. I didn't say illegally. He probably went to the right channels, but you got to follow the protocol and do what you got to do. That's all he simply said.
Let me take a telephone call. Call out, go on the line, go ahead.
Hello?
Hey, how you doing?
Great. Good evening, everybody.
Good afternoon. How you doing?
I just want to make 3 points and then I'll go. First point, it kills me when persons make these disingenuous arguments about behemoths and push this narrative that behemoths are lazy or behemoths don't want to work, because you two guys in there, you speak highly of your struggle and how you progressed from poverty into wherever you guys are now. Are you guys saying that you're the exception to the rule? No other behemoths you know have done the same exact thing.
Never said that.
In the Family Islands, people don't get up every morning and struggle and go fishing and do what they got to do. Or just you two behemoths.
Oh, no. You ain't going to put me in that.
I just want to finish it.
No, you ain't going to put me in the bucket. I too big to squeeze in that bucket. That's God taking on his position.
No, I never took the position. I never said every behemoth.
When you say the family, when I said the Family of Islands, I said we are Nassau centric.
I said there's some out there. Who got fish dying on the shore?
Okay.
Let go. Go ahead. Let me hear what you're saying, cuz.
I'm simply saying, just pushing this. I've been hearing this now just since I was a young boy. Behemoths don't want to work. Behemoths is this. And those who normally push this narrative, they do it for whatever reason, or they push it from an anecdotal perspective, like they know all the behemoths in the Bahamas.
But that's not how assessments work, sir. That's not how assessments work. When you take an assessment, if you go to Inwale, if you go to public domain,
you do assessment from people around you. What are people you know or hearsay?
No, that's not how it works. That's not how it works. If there is a poll that is being taken in the country right now, no, hold on 1 second.
Yeah, sir, please excuse me, Howard. Please excuse me. Let me know what's irritating to me. No, because you're making accusations, right? As if you're picking, right?
Hold on. But I making accusations all during the show, sir.
So let me ask you a question. Every being in hard waking. Most of the young people are hardworking. Let me hear this.
Hold on, answer the question then.
Ask me the question if you have a culture of hardworking young people.
Be quiet for a second and let me try to speak. Because you got, when I hang up, you can lambaste me as much as you want. I just want to finish my point.
I don't want to lambaste you. Go ahead.
I'm simply saying this narrative being pushed, you have persons from Haitian descent, everybody else come here. They don't denigrate their nationality. They might do it amongst themselves, but I see behemoths are the only ones who would say, oh, behemoths don't like the work. Which is not true, because you two guys in there, say you work hard, you was able to progress. Are you saying that most humans are just lazy and just sit around?
Okay.
The young people, hold on.
No, you got two more points to make. You say behemoths are lazy, then you stretch that out. I was waiting on your other two points.
You guys are saying that. I'm not saying
you say you have three points to make.
The point I'm trying to make is behemoths are not lazy, is what I'm saying. This narrative is being pushed for time immemorial, and the other thing, you have this political PLP person that called the show. He's toting the party line because Fred Mitchell is pushing the same narrative that we need to bring more people in here. So of course he's going to follow the party line. See, you guys got to read between the lines and just to listen to the narrative being pushed. I don't think behemoths are lazy. I think,
but you ain't giving us no information.
If you go to any country, if you migrate to any country, you will do. Sometimes you work harder because you know where you come from.
Can I ask you a question then? I'm not going to make a statement. Can I ask you a question?
Hold on, let me finish because he wrapping up.
Okay, go ahead.
No, because I can let you go but I just wanted to, you're not providing us any statistical data and information.
But what I'm saying is you guys didn't.
No. I was about to explain to you when you say, I know all Bahamians? And that's absolutely impossible for me to know all Bahamians.
Okay, but I'm saying two things could be true. The same way you could say, you did an assessment. I can say I did an assessment too, and what I found is that behemoths are not lazy.
Okay, good.
Just you two gentlemen.
No, I'm not suggesting. Let me ask you a question though. I'm in the construction field. So I wanted to ask something to you. I'm in the construction field. Okay, I get a team of our people on a construction site, and if you want me to be truthful to you, and any contractor I know who's behemoth, truthful to you, ask why we got a bunch of foreigners on the back of the truck. I pick up the people in the morning, I buy them breakfast, I buy them something to drink, I give them a couple of dollars to buy something to smoke, they're on the job, and by 1 o'clock they're ready to go home with full day's pay. I asking you, some of your tools should all may even go missing, because they ain't never come to work with no tools. This is the culture that I, have been exposed. So I'm not saying that this caller, Howard Grant, does not have a right to his opinion. If that is his perspective and view, I respect his perspective and view. But I can only speak to him according to all of the industries that I've involved myself in. Fishing, farming, beekeeping, plumbing, construction. I've had the same experience in all five of those industries in this country. That's all I could tell you. That's all I could tell you.
Now let's be decent. As I stretch this out far and wide and we make an assessment of these particular things, let me add some science to this. When you're doing a snapshot, if you're doing a poll, you don't call 400,000 Bahamians. You don't do that. Okay? No. What you do is you identify a segment of people that you do, right? So you ask questions to be able to ensure that you have the embodiment of diversity at the forefront. And then you ask this according along the line to about 1,000 people. And it'll give you a snapshot to the mindset that exists in cultures and subcultures in our country. Yes. Let's be very clear about this.
And you're right.
And there is no way that you can say to me that you've spoken to, because I can tell you that I have, I sit in this position. I can tell you that I have because I've worked with companies that do this. I can tell you that I have because I've actually reached out and did this assessment. So you could ask me and I could provide you this statistical data and information that Howard has done this.
Let me tell you what works hard. Customs works hard. BPL works hard. BTC works hard. Water and sewage works hard. You got some heavy tracked equipment operators that work hard. I'm not saying that Bahamian people don't work hard. People in the banks working hard. Insurance companies working hard. We got a whole lot of hard working Bahamians. I'm simply talking about that hard physical industrial work, the laborious work that is affiliated with the people who are migrating into the country.
There's
That's
a
the
couple
work
things
I'm talking
that happen
to.
In the same
That's
time.
What I'm talking about.
There's a couple things that are happening at the same time. All right? Things have shifted from this kind of a laborious work that you talk about,
yes.
this industrial work
yes.
that you talk about, into a technical aspect. So there is more brain power, the expectation of energy to be exerted from your thoughts, your ideas, your creativity to be exerted in your environment. Okay, so that doesn't happen in our environment. In our environment where there is perpetual repetition, this is, we're being taught to repeat.
Yes.
We're not
yes,
being
yes,
taught
yes,
to
yes,
create.
Yes.
Come on, cuz, when you call in, you got to be able to hit me with these things, man.
I think he's an articulate person. I like
you
got to
be able to... See,
but
he, you tell me that we sit in here in a studio
yeah.
and doing this particular things, but you're not providing me any information to say that you're doing something contrary. You didn't provide me any information to say that, Howard, I had an opportunity to be able to go to this school, that school, this school. I can tell you that Howard has done it. And I can say to you that these generations that exist now are lazy.
That's it.
I don't know whether or not you have children. I have an 18-year-old and a 16-year-old. I can tell you that they're lazy. They ain't into that.
They ain't into mixing no concrete.
And the only reason that they stand to do anything, even with the mutters under their voice, is because daddy said, let's do this.
That's it.
Because of respect, so forth and so on, and they're in my proximity. Now, I have to let my children know that when you go out and you got to survive, you got to take care of yourself. And as soon as I let my daughter go off to Freeport or let my son go off to the States, so forth and so on, they call me back with stories about how other children their age lazy.
And see, y'all just get on my case, right? And you're pampering these children, right? You got a young man in your house who can't change car tire. What type of husband he can be? Huh?
Anyway,
he can't pick up a shovel. He can't pull up a rake. He can't cut the grass with a lawnmower.
Let's
what type of children are we raising?
30 seconds. Let's go. Let's get 30 seconds because... Call on the line, 30 seconds, go ahead. Call on the line, 30 seconds, go ahead.
Yes, Howard.
Hi, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm right here. What I want to ask, this is a question. What makes the Bahamas different? When you look at South Florida, you see the Spanish people. When you go to California, you see the Mexicans, Guyana, Trinidad. If Bahamians and Haitians didn't look alike, we would see the same mix. So my question is, these 450,000 people you're talking about, are they truly Bahamian?
No.
That's the question. I like her.
No.
That's my question.
I appreciate your telephone call.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Like
see,
her.
Me and Motley stood up. See, y'all need to stop playing. I don't play with this, you know. I get my information. I absorb my information. I assess it. Okay, next week we're going to have a conversation about how 5.5% raise for parliamentarians in Britain right now, 5.5% raise will bring them to $91,000, £91,000 a year. £91,000 a year. Now, when you start to compare pounds to dollars, in the UK right now, if you are making £60,000 a year, you live in good. in the UK right now. Yeah. Now, if you make an assessment about the fact that we are 10, the top 10 of the most expensive places to live in, then you now have an argument to identify the Westminster system that exists in this space, and they continue to be able to raise their increase, and we're not doing that here. You have an argument.
Yes, you do.
To be able to have a clear conversation about these things, but you can't come here with emotion and say, Jesus, $28,000 ain't, $28,000 ain't enough. You have to have anecdotal information, statistical information, data that you can be able to put on. I say that to say, when you come here, bring the information.
Let me tell you something, Howard.
I'm not going to tell you these stories just out of my behind. I can tell you the truth.
I didn't plan on being this passionate today, right? But this is all I'm saying in a nutshell today. If you take anything with you, only until we as a people are prepared to accept the truth can the Bahamas march on.
And one of the truths is this. It's difficult. I'm trying to explain to you. It's difficult. Me and Motley stood on the stage and indicated that the Bahamas had grown from 98,000 persons in 1973, 90-some thousand people in 1973, around those times, in the early late 70s and so forth, right? To where we're seeing a boom for 400,000 now. Now, statistically, it is almost impossible. It is almost impossible for a generation that dived into industrial work, that dived into working, that started to be able to identify themselves, to separate themselves from the concepts and ideas with their... Listen, your grandmother was having six children and we had 90-something thousand. You ain't got two.
Mm-hmm.
It is almost impossible to look at those things, but no one will look at this.
No one will talk
there
about it.
There has to be an influx, an external influx that are here. That these people are now qualified to call themselves Bahamian, and you're still talking about their incorruption. We got to deal with this. We got to deal with this. How come every 10 years you see another 60,000 people on this? How could this happen in this country?
And you ain't making none.
How could this happen in this country? No one will talk about this.
No.
Let's have a clear conversation. The show is out of it, guys. I want to thank you so much for your contribution today. I want to thank you for being able to get in here today and talk about these things. I appreciate the impassioned position that persons are taking. I know that this is always sort of a touchy subject, but we're going to have to dive into it. I want to appreciate it. Thank you so very kindly, guys. Enjoy your weekend. Have a beautiful time. We're going to be here Monday next week, God spare. We're talking with Devko at the top of the week. We're going to be talking with Pastor and Bishop... Barry Morris at the top of the day, and then we're going to get into some technical conversations for the entire week. So I'll see you Monday, God spare life. Have a good time. Enjoy your weekend. Be safe, guys.
The foundation. Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology...